All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. We hope you're having a fantastic morning, noon, or night, wherever you guys are in the world. You're certainly in the right place because we are joined by some fantastic guests today who are going to be doing a deep dive into their project that they've brought to life here that is tremendous. It's got such wide reach. I want to crack the code of Pi Network. So I brought on the co-founders here, Dr. Tang Dao and Dr. Nicholas Kokalis of Pi Network. Welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bryce. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so you guys are based out of Palo Alto, is that right? Up in Silicon Valley?
Yes.
That's right.
Nice. And why start Pi Network? What was the grand vision that really got you guys to say, you know what, we're going to dedicate the rest of our lives to this project?
Well, Pi Network was started combining all our academic and personal interest. I mean, Nicholas is a hardcore computer scientist with expertise in distributed system, which is a precursor to one big component of a blockchain. And I myself is a social scientist. So with the second half of my PhD doing human-computer interaction, that's where Nicholas and I collaborated on multiple research projects, studying how to build computer systems to scale and to be used easily by humans. At the time that, when we were at Stanford exploring with the students, building decentralized applications, we noticed that, in the industry, there is a big problem of, a lot of technology, but there is no good enough social network in order to build decentralized applications that allows a typical required process, such as user iterations. So this is combining all our interests of distributed system, human-computer interaction, social computing, and also the, excitement about building a large-scale human movement. This is where we build Pi Network.
So is Pi Network like, it's a digital currency, but it's also a social network, if you will. And so people could interact. Could you kind of, walk us through if somebody were to download the Pi Network application, what would they be expecting?
So it's a digital currency in the sense that you can mine it and you can mine it on the mobile phone directly. As part of the mining process, you contribute to the consensus algorithm. And it is also the entry point to the Pi ecosystem where you can see and use different Pi utilities.
Fantastic. And so what are some of the popular applications that you've seen people develop on the Pi network or maybe with the Pi cryptocurrency?
Well, to start, there is a very important step for us to migrate our social network to our mainnet blockchain. And the key step is called KYC. And one application of the Pi cryptocurrency is that people can pay Pi to get their IDs verified in order for them to migrate to the mainnet. And this is a very strong utility in the sense that, native currency Pi is used to pay for real human labor that result in valuable work in the world.
And so people need to, right now they have like a test net and now there's a transition to the main net. And in order to get onto main net, you need to KYC. Can you kind of tell people maybe a little bit about why people need to KYC? And for those who don't know, who are listening, what is KYC?
Okay. So KYC is generally known as a know your customer process. And a lot of, traditional businesses require KYC to, for compliance reasons, to know your customer, to know who you are providing the service to, especially financial related services, generally is required. And so Pi Network doing KYC is for one, of course, as much as compliant as possible. Second is also for our own policy. For example, in Pi, we require one person per account. This means that this is one of the defense mechanism of our network to prevent fake accounts migrating to the mainnet.
So we are...
Wow.
Yeah, and we're having this KYC solution. We needed to build it in-house for multiple reasons. Scalability is a big one of them. And scalability not only in the sense that we have a large network of people that spans across almost every country or region in the world. And We are talking about tens of millions of people. And we couldn't find any KYC solution out there that could have solutions for every single country's IDs. Number one, about scalability. But also number two of scalability is that there is no currently KYC still requires some human intervention. So there is a lot of machine learning and AI algorithms that are helping with liveness detection and with identification of the IDs and understanding what's on the ID documents, but it still needs some human support. So any KYC solution we talk to could only scale to thousands of KYCs per day, like small amount of KYCs per day. But in our case, with such a vast network, which we are preparing for the next billion users, it couldn't scale with just the thousands per day. So, for example, we did our first million KYCs in a single month. So that that wouldn't be possible. And there were almost 500,000 people involved in the process of verifying the first million or 2 million people who KYC'd.
So that's like a tremendously large number, especially when we talk about, you know, crypto sort of networks. And, you know, if you look at any of the DeFi apps, for instance, you know, they have a few thousand users every single day. You look at some of these, you know, decentralized metaverses, not pointing any fingers, not naming any names. Everybody's doing a great job. There's just not that many users on a day-to-day basis. NFTs, the volumes are down 99%. So my question to you is, man, how did you guys, you know, grow to get, you know, millions and millions of users? And what are kind of like the metrics that you guys have? Like, you have a million users, you have 10 million users. And how did you get all these users?
Well, it comes down to the unique strategy of ours. And the core strategy is accessibility. And accessibility has threefold, I guess. One is the financial accessibility. In Pi, everybody can mine for free. They don't need to pay anything to enter. Another accessibility is knowledge accessibility. We build our UI to be really intuitive. For example, the mining component, they can mine on the phone. So you don't necessarily need the computer science knowledge about setting up a node in order to mine. And then there is also the, you know, system design accessibility. That is, you know, in addition to people find it easy to mine, they also find it easy to use. So all these factors contribute to the accessibility. And also the strategy of accessibility also have the result of, you know, more fair and more widely distribution of the cryptocurrency. So that make us one of the most widely distributed. We are now at over 35 million engaged members and distributed in almost every country and region in the world, over 233 countries and regions of the world. So that's also ties into why our KYC process needs a comprehensive solution, because it's like every region.
Yeah, it's got to have a global sort of approach as opposed to country by country. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And, you know, so Pi Network, there's a cryptocurrency, there's a network, there's applications, there's millions and millions of users. You know, what's next? What, you know, we have the mainnet, but what are you guys trying to accomplish with this, with mainnet?
So a very special period, our strategy design is called enclosed mainnet. So our mainnet went live last December. We started our mass KYC, I think the first quarter. And then we are also in the process of migrating all these millions of people. The next is basically after migrating all these millions of people to the net, to the mainnet, we're building the enclosed network. Enclosed network means everything can be transacted within Pi, but cannot have external connectivity yet. The special design for this is to focus our attention to build utility and real utility without too much noises outside of the network. And of course, we acknowledge there are certain applications can only build with external connectivity, but there are internal enclosed type of utilities can be nurtured and built. For example, new type of social applications can be inside the enclosed environment to get it into the ecosystem to be a little more mature before we go to what we call open network.
Okay, interesting. So somebody downloads the app, they're mining on their phone, or are they staking, or is it like they're doing some type of hash or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so your question is how does the Pi mining work, I guess, your question, right?
Yeah.
So mining, as people traditionally understand, is in the context of proof of work. When people think of mining, it's a lot of electricity, a lot of hashing, okay? So that's because proof of work require nodes to spend electricity to solve mathematical puzzles to reach a consensus. So it comes down to the type of consensus algorithm a protocol uses. Pi relies on federated Byzantine agreement, in which the consensus is reached not through like burning electricity, but through a quorum, rely on a trust graph to rise from the trust graph. And inside the quorum, nodes send messages to each other, just like votes, in regard to whether a transaction is true or fraudulent, and help that reach consensus. Just by my description of how this mechanism works, these days any laptop can send messages to other computers. So the scale of the requirement for electricity is no comparison to the level that required by proof of work. This is the fundamental reason why Pi mining in the first place doesn't require electricity. Now, as I mentioned, there needs to be a trust graph. So the mobile miners are actually contributing their trust relationships to form this trust graph that can feed the consensus algorithm to reach consensus. So the actual running of the blockchain, the heavy lifting of actually running, is still on our Pi nodes, which is computer nodes. So, but the required efforts of our Pi nodes is different from the Bitcoin nodes. They're also rewarded in Pi in conjunction with the mobile miners. So in the broader sense of the mining is that, you know, individuals or nodes contribute to a consensus algorithm for it to reach consensus. In return, they receive rewards on that protocol.
You guys envision Pi Network ever interacting or Pi Network users ever interacting with their Pi tokens on other chains, right? Is it going to be this cross-chain future with, you know, bridges or atomic swaps? Or is it kind of going to be maybe like one blockchain to rule them all? What's your guys' view?
Yeah, well, the sky's the limit. We are not here to enclose the world in just one technology. We are always open to collaborate with other technologies. We believe in open standards and open networks. We see what happens with platforms when they become too enclosed and the power that comes with that and also the impacts that they have to consumers. There is even in the news lately about new recent policies that the various application platforms, mobile application platforms, are constantly changing to enforce different rules. So we are always open. We expect that there's benefit in collaboration between platforms, of course.
Yeah. So speaking of that, like I heard the other day, Apple kind of came out with these new rules about any sort of crypto transactions that happen through their app, like an app that was downloaded through the Apple Store, like they're supposed to now be collecting 30%. Have you guys heard about this?
We did,
roughly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the world is still in a phase, including, tech giants or regulators still figure out how crypto can fit into the existing economy. And that is the process as a crypto builder also need to be patient and follow and then adjust in order to, you know, fit in at the same time create innovation.
Yeah, that's where open standards help. Sorry. Yeah, that's where open standards help. Being more accessible through the web, through technologies that are open helps push the ecosystem forward.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, I was going to say basically the same thing. Like, they're kind of pushing people away from mobile and back to web. There could be this renaissance of like these open web-based applications as opposed to just like, you know, mobile first and mobile only applications. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see.
We several years ago, we made a pretty unexpected move. We are all about user experience and producing a better user experience for our users. But at some point, we did something counterintuitive to user experience, which is we had the Pi app and we created the Pi browser. That is counterintuitive because it asks people to install two apps. So it's more complex. Mm. But that was several years before this recent announcement. So in a sense, we have prepared ourselves with what we think it would make sense to do, to rely more on open technologies, web browsers, and things that don't completely enclose or rely on single entities to have a single failure point in the whole process.
Are not limited only to one type of platform. Basically, we also have a testnet. We also have a desktop, application. So,
I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, many different access points for the application.
Yes.
And redundancy points to work on the web, to work on different infrastructures and technologies.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your guys' experience as co-founders of, you know, a huge network through the bear market. Because, I'm curious, just do numbers kind of start to slow down? Does work morale at the office kind of go down? Or, you know, what's your guys' experience as a bear market builder?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, bear market is not necessarily a bad thing for the industry. The bear market get rid of all the craziness and the noises, and force people to focus attention on, what is real, what is really useful, what is the real use cases of crypto. So I think this is the phase for real builders, and focus our attention to more substance. So bringing substance to the industry to, you know, get ready for the next wave of bull market. And as for Pi, we're basically sheltered from that, especially because of our design of the enclosed network.
Yeah, so the enclosed network by construction is shielded from any market conditions. So, for example, this KYC application that we have where people need to spend one Pi to KYC themselves, and that Pi is split across all the people who are helping you to get your KYC validated. During the bull market, it cost one Pi to KYC yourself. During the crash, it still cost one Pi. And now during the bear market, it still costs one Pi. So it was completely unaffected.
But how much is one Pi in dollar terms?
No, we don't have that. And because that is unknown for the current period. Yeah.
Well, one thing to consider here, unrelated to the market conditions, is that the base mining rate has been decreasing internally in the Pi blockchain, and it used to take you about 2 days to mine one Pi, and now it takes about 3 days to mine one Pi. So it is possible that down the line that the price for the KYC can go down, to people will have to pay less than one Pi, but completely unrelated to the market.
One Pi is attached to the value of all the labor people spend on validating this application.
So these days, it seems like every new potential hire can feel like this high stakes wager for your small business. I mean, you want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best, most qualified candidates available. And so that's exactly why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. Okay. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. In fact, our brand new super podcast producer, TiVo, the absolute man, myth, legend himself, he literally just started here at Crypto 101 this month to take us to the next level. And we found him through LinkedIn. He's one of many that we found thanks to LinkedIn this year alone, believe it or not. So guys, get this. It's so easy to create a job post on LinkedIn. Once you've done so, all you got to do is just add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, and you can start spreading the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions and stuff, it just makes it easy for you to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. And we're always, always, always looking to finish the year strong here at Crypto 101. And by using LinkedIn Jobs, we were able to bring on the right podcast producer candidate in TiVo. Okay, TiVo's the man, along with a bunch of other great new team members. So it's stories like our own that show us why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So Crypto 101 listeners, you can go to LinkedIn Jobs to help you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to and do it a heck of a lot faster. So you can go, you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/crypto. Okay, that's linkedin.com/crypto, and you could post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So you can't take the pie out and send it to Coinbase and cash out. No, you can't. Okay. Yeah,
that's the point of the enclosed network.
Enclosed network. Yes.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. And so like during the bear market, do you guys continue to see just as many people mine, or do people kind of lose interest and stop mining a little bit?
No, we don't see any big difference.
Completely unaffected. Yeah.
And what is their, what is their incentive to mine? If the Pi network tokens don't have any monetary value, what's kind of the incentive for people to continue mining? Is it just because it's fun and there's a community and there's an experience behind it? Or, because I always viewed like, you know, the incentive for people to stake or people to mine is because they could earn an income from it.
Yeah, I think it's the it's more of like we have the vision of building a utility based ecosystem, and to really crack utility, it's not Rome is built in one is not built in one day, and to build a real ecosystem, you need a lot of infrastructure and you need a lot of attempts to try what it will stick and what is the real use cases. And along the journey, in addition to mining, we also educate our community about the way to achieve long-term vision. And also, in essence, our network is, free to join to start, and more fair distribution. Unlike many other conventional way in crypto that the, tokens are sold, we never sold any token, and 80% are for the community and the network. So, it's basically a more fair participation into this ecosystem to build the ecosystem together. It's not just, we are not just that we provide the thing for the community. It's all the core team is only one participant of the network, and every user and member and developer have their responsibility to contribute to the network to build. And this network and ecosystem cannot be built in one day. And that's the mentality and that's the spirit of Pi community.
How long do you think it'll take? Is it like a 10-year, maybe a 20-year plan for this to kind of, come to fulfill the grand vision? Or is it closer than that?
I think it's hard to say, but, for the next 3 or 5 years, I think even for the general crypto industry is to figure out and overcome a lot of obstacles for the industry as a whole and obstacles for a specific project. For the industry itself, it has knowledge obstacle. How do people perceive cryptocurrency and the industry? There is a lot of disinformation and misinformation. How do we remove those? And then there is also the regulation obstacle, meaning that we need more clear rules. There is also the application of Circle. What the meaning is that we need to figure out how crypto or blockchain based service can integrate with everyday people's life to create actual use cases and useful services. Yeah. So that people use it for its intrinsic value, not necessarily as only, you know, an investment tool. So they are using...
What would some of those applications or use cases be? Like if you could put that into some concrete examples.
Yeah. So one direction that the Pi Network and I think the industry are trying to have innovation, in addition to all this DeFi, the very native blockchain applications, is the social applications that integrate with cryptocurrency. I'm not just referring to NFTs or games, which is a booming vertical of the crypto space, but also like using cryptocurrency to integrate of designing social applications, not just copycat of the Web2 type of applications, but you know, using the incentive and disincentive systems of a cryptocurrency. Now you're at the time you can use economic mechanism inside your app logic to create better content, to curate more high signal content than just in the information silo of machine learning. And you can also, use this cryptocurrency as a mechanism to motivate and mobilize and leverage the crowd wisdom. Just like our KYC application is an example of, leveraging the power of the crowd in order to scale certain services. Like this type of applications is, I think, for the next 3 or 5 years that the industry can explore and will have true innovation instead of a copycat of Web2 or just, very finance related, and to explore different type of verticals of applications and utilities. And this is what Pi is trying to do, given that we are already at the advantage of having a big social network to start with.
Yeah. So what do you kind of think of Elon Musk buying Twitter? And I just asked this because he tweeted out and was talking about, he goes, myself buying Twitter kind of expedites the timeline for X, the Everything app. And the Everything app is supposed to have, you know, a crypto wallet integrated with it and, you know, work and play and social and all this kind of stuff along with payments. And it kind of sounds like that could be maybe even a competitor to Pi Network. Is that how you guys think about it?
We don't see things as competitor. And this is so new. This is so new industry. Every type of innovation is welcome. And also the fact that, you know, I don't know what Elon Musk thinks about this, but the fact that he, have Twitter and then also interested in crypto as demonstrated, the fact that these two social network and also crypto merged together seems to be in line with what I was describing just now. Like in the social vector, there might be innovations using cryptocurrency.
Yeah. And in a sense, the strategy he proposed makes sense. So he said that we need to take Twitter off the public market so that we don't have these external dependencies where Twitter may want to take some non-conventional, non-consensus moves, which if you do it as a public company, you have to look at how the market price of the stock of Twitter would go. So removing that, those external interferences, then you can try to focus on innovation that will be a long-term innovation. On the short term, if it was maybe loses money, less advertising, something less about the company, but in the long term, creates a better product. And that's, I think, what he was trying to do there. In a sense, this is similar to our strategy for enclosed network. So we have the enclosed network right now to completely eliminate all the possibilities of people trying to use Pi for quick success of X, of Y, of Z, and focus on long-term utility, long-term usefulness for the world. Mm-hmm.
And all this,
I love it.
Yeah, and all these social applications, it's not something that, you know, you try it once, it goes very viral. It takes so many attempts. That's what I meant by attempts. So many iterations, so many different versions, how to integrate it. And the more developers join the space to give more attempts, the higher chance the whole industry are going to actually find the real utility that every day you hear drivers talking about, I'm using this thing, crypto-based service for this social, experience instead of just the only on exchanges.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of like, I watched this documentary actually about Elon Musk and like starting SpaceX, and he iterated many, many, many times on the rocket ship to have, you know, consumer flight. But he blew up the first three rockets on accident, right? Like, you know, so nothing's ever perfect the first time. But if you want to have true long-term sustainable innovation, I also love the analogy of, you know, him taking Twitter off the public market, because the things that he'll do to that company after he purchases and go private, you know, he will have his, if he still had public board members and public shareholders to a fiduciary obligation to them, you know, the experiments that he would run and the innovation, while it might, you know, affect the stock price negatively, it could actually be a long-term, you know, a net benefit. And it's pretty clear that, you know, that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be doing a lot of experimental, fun, innovative things, a lot like what you guys are doing with the Pi Network. And so I'm excited to see how everything turns out. I'm excited to download it and get Pi mining myself here. So guys, I really appreciate you coming on to the Crypto 101 podcast. If anybody who is listening is interested, they want to learn how to mine Pi, maybe get involved in the ecosystem, where can we direct them to? And we could link some stuff into the show notes.
MinePi.com.
That's easy. MinePi.com.
Yeah.
How'd you guys get, land on the name Pi, P-I, 3.14, right?
Yes. Oh, I guess we're all geeks. So, yeah, we love math. And, you know, Pi is such a universal concept everyone understands. It also represents a circle that the uniting people together, inclusiveness goes into the concept. And also, you know, Nicholas has a Greek descent. It's a Greek letter.
Easy to type it on my
Nicholas. It's easy to type it on my keyboard. Love it. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. We look forward to bringing you guys back on again to the Crypto 101 podcast when you have some more exciting updates.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.